Common sense, the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the January 2nd, 2020 edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Happy New Year to you. Today on the show, we're going to talk a little college basketball, some pro football, but first we're going to talk college football with our good friend and host of his own podcast now, Vince Stover. Vince, thank you for joining us. Tell us about your little podcast you've got going on now.
It's exploding. It's the fastest growing podcast in the nation. I went from zero listeners to one. We doubled it. It was great.
He'll be here all week, ladies all and gentlemen. Week. Vince Stover at your local Giggles Comedy Club.
Podcast is The Sports Stove, and just talking professional and college sports stories going on around the nation, and just enjoying a little bit of time talking about all the highlights of the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, no hockey.
So let me get this straight. You have your podcast now.
Yes.
And I've not been invited to be on that, but yet you have invited yourself to be on this podcast many times. Now, what's going on here?
We've got in the plans. We're still working.
Oh, yeah. I believe that when I see it, Stover.
You're right behind the Harbaugh brothers, and we'll get you in.
Exactly. We're going to start out with some college football here. We are glowing in the aftermath of quite possibly the best bowl game in the history of Kentucky football, a 37-30 victory over Virginia Tech on New Year's Eve. Your thoughts on that miracle comeback win for the Cats, Vince Stover?
It was a fun game to watch. I thought it was a lot like wrestling early on, with as far as both teams did a great job of promoting the fight. There wasn't a whole lot to watch before that.
And ESPN did a great job promoting that fight, too. Boy, Beth Mullins, that's all she could talk about. God bless her. I mean, you know, she gets enough crap as it is from being a female announcer and being as annoying as people think she is, especially Big Blue Nation. But, man, she was milky. Between that and Bud Foster, that's the only thing they can talk about the whole game.
Yes. Yeah, but it was. It made it exciting, at least for the fan bases, to tune in and to watch. And it was a great game all the way throughout, all the way to the end. Of course, as we all expected, we knew that the game was going to come down to Lynn Bowden's arm. And that's how the game ended. I thought it was a great game overall for Kentucky fans. It was what the rest of the season had been since the injury to Terry Wilson. Everybody knew it was coming. There was going to be a lot of running, and they were just hoping they'd score more points than the other team.
If I told you the quarterback for Kentucky would go 6 of 12 for 73 yards, would you have expected a victory?
I don't know. I mean, If I didn't know anything about Kentucky and you told me that, no, obviously not.
Lynn Bowden, it seemed like he was mad at everybody the whole game. He got mad at his own coaches. He got mad at his own teammates. He got mad at the other team. Seemed like he was just upset with everyone all day. I didn't think it was a good look. They won the game, but still, I didn't think it was a very good look.
Yeah, I don't know what it was this whole week for him. He seemed to be mad at everybody from the event at the racetrack till the end of the game. And I'm not sure why that is. And you're right, it's not a good look for him. But at the end of the day, his performance when it comes to the next level for him and going into the draft, no one's going to care about how angry he was during a Virginia Tech game.
34 carries, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns. Best performance in bowl history for Kentucky?
That I can think of, yeah.
I would agree with that. Better quarterback, Terry Wilson, Lynn Bowden?
Better quarterback for this team, Lynn Bowden.
Agreed. If Lynn Bowden was coming back next year, Terry Wilson coming back next year, who's your quarterback starting day one if you're the coach? If Lynn Bowden was coming back next year?
If I'm Mark Stoops, I'm thankful that Lynn Bowden's not coming back for the sole purpose that I don't have to worry about that thought.
Terry Wilson wouldn't see the field. I would keep doing what I was doing. Now, is it long-term beneficial? I don't know, but I know the numbers tell me Lynn Bowden is the much better quarterback than Terry Wilson, although he can't throw it more than 10 yards accurately. He's still numerically the better quarterback, and I will tell you this. If Terry Wilson had been healthy every game this season, not only are they not 7-5, I think they lose another game along the way. They certainly don't win this game.
I think at the end of the day, if you had them both, I don't think Bowden would be your full-time quarterback. I think it'd be wise to mix them in and do a little bit of both. But Terry Wilson is still, when it comes to quarterbacking traditionally, Terry Wilson would be better. And I think you would see more of a split, maybe a 60-40 split between Wilson and Bowden. But like I said, they don't have to worry about that. Bowden is the reason they won any game this season and the latter half of the season. And what was amazing about it is that every team knew exactly what Kentucky was going to do, and yet still Bowden went went off every single game, with the exception of Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and that mirror, the Missouri game changed the whole season for this team.
Yeah.
Because they were double-digit dogs. It was one of the biggest upsets of the season. A double-digit dog at home getting that win in the monsoon. People blame it on the rain, as Millie Vanilli would say back in the day. Yeah. I had that cassette tape. I still have it in a shoebox in Atlanta. Last year, 10-3. This year, 8-5. Oh, so last year was better, right? Well, did they live up to expectations? Last year, they were 6-7 in the desert against the point spread. This year, 10-3. There's only one team in college football that has a better point spread record than Kentucky does right now, and that's Clemson. Better season this year or last year?
Well, I think if you're a Kentucky fan, it was last year easily because they exceeded expectation. But I think at the end of the year this year, Kentucky fans are as happy as they were last year. And, you know, I think when it comes down to it, because midseason, the look was they're not going to win another game. And they still ended up pulling out 8 wins total at the end of the year, including the Belk Bowl win. And I think that Kentucky fans are as happy and as satisfied at the end of the season this year as they were last year.
This year was better. That's my opinion. Then, you know, you can go point spread records. This year was better because you didn't have the best defensive player in the history of the school. You didn't have the best running back in the history of the school. You had a quarterback who hadn't taken a snap at quarterback before this year, and you still won 8 games and you covered 10 out of 13. This year is the best year. That's our opinion. But they're winning games the way that Kentucky's never been able to win games before. Run it right down people's throats.
Yeah.
And that goes to recruiting. That's the thing that Stoops is doing better than any coach in Kentucky that has ever done. He and Vince Merrow, they're recruiting players. I looked at the Rivals website this morning. A good friend, Jeff Drummond, contributes a lot to them. They're 19th in America recruiting in terms of classes for the incoming class, but they're 8th in the SEC. But still, 19th in America in recruiting. You get these players, now you're able to do things like you did yesterday. Run the ball all day against these, maybe not the Alabamas and Clemsons and Georgias and LSUs of the world, but the Virginia Techs. You can get away with running the ball as many times as they did.
Well, I think he's doing well in recruiting, but I think it's in a limited capacity. I think they've done well offensive line. They've done well with running backs. But at the end of the day, you're not going to have Lynn Bowden back. And do they have another athlete like him on the field that can do what Lynn Bowden does? No. And the key in the SEC is always going to come back to quarterback. The only exception to that has ever been Alabama back when they're like Greg McElroy days and things like that. But A.J. McCarron, all those kind of guys. But they had 11 defensive players that would go to the NFL. And Kentucky, they've done well with the offensive line. They've done well with the running backs. They've done pretty well with even your defensive, your linebackers and your linemen. So those are all very solid. But at the end of the day, it's still going to come back to, if they're going to get back to 10 wins, they have to land a quarterback that can come in and be a difference maker in the SEC.
Our good friend John Clay wrote a column this morning. It says, Kentucky in their bowl win buried its past. Are you ready to go on board with they've buried the past with Kentucky football?
No.
Are you saying that John Clay is throwing a little bit of hyperbole out there? He might be over-exaggerating things a little bit? Are you saying that about our friend John Clay?
Kentucky still lost to Tennessee, and the past cannot be buried until Kentucky begins to beat Tennessee regularly. And that's what it comes back to for Kentucky right now. If they're going to be consistently in the, I think if you're talking about burying the past, they need to be consistently in the 9-win area. And this year they did 8, so that was close. Last year, obviously 10. But the past for Kentucky is 5 wins, 6 wins. And so if they're going to be past that, then they have to continue to build and be consistently that 8, 9, 10-win range. And I don't think they're quite there for consistency yet because, again, I think it comes back to quarterback and have they recruited a quarterback that can be a difference maker. We don't know yet. They've got a transfer coming in next year, but I'm assuming he has to sit out the season next season. They've got a few young guys that are coming in as well. It's still to be seen if they've buried the past yet.
They have a lot of players coming back next year.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of pressure on Terry Wilson.
Yes.
A lot. There is a lot going into this year on him, but it's going to be even more so next year after what Lynn Bowden did this year.
Right.
Why can't Terry Wilson do something like that? Because let's just face it, if they had played Lynn Bowden at quarterback 2 years ago, are they 10-3? Maybe they go 11-2. Maybe they get that win at Texas A&M. Maybe they get that win at Tennessee during their dream season and win 11 games instead of 10. That's some questions that we'll all have to answer once Terry Wilson comes back for his last year. But the thing that really caught my eye in this bowl game, Cash Daniel. Immediately after the game, he apologizes to Florida quarterback Kyle Trusk for the little ankle rolling incident he had back in September. If I checked the date of this game, it was December 31st. That Florida game was in late September, 3.5 months later. If you're going to apologize to a guy, why are you waiting 3.5 months? Why not apologize after the game, a few days after the game? Why do you have to wait 3.5 months? It kind of makes this apology seem a little bit disingenuous. It kind of makes it seem like it's really not that meaningful. Your thoughts, Vince Stover?
I don't understand the apology, especially when it came. I don't understand how this helps Cash Daniels in any way, because if it, the only thing I could think of
NFL
was
prospects, maybe?
Well, that's the only thing I could think of is was it a red flag for what they're hearing from NFL scouts? But at the same time, when's the last time anybody talked about Cash Daniels twisting the ankle of the Florida quarterback? In my opinion, it's gone away. It's been forgotten. Nobody cares anymore. And now it's been brought back up by him. So the only thing I can think of is if a scout has said, hey, we're concerned about this Cash Daniels kid because we think he can't control himself or we think he's dirty or whatever it is, then he's trying to get out in front of that. But like I said, I think it's been forgotten. So I don't understand. Maybe it's a New Year's resolution for him. Let's get right with people. I have no idea.
At this point, if you're going to wait 3.5 months, apologize to him privately.
Sure.
That does a lot more. Apologize to him privately, either written, face-to-face, whatever, but apologize privately. Going public 3.5 months later makes it seem fake.
Yeah.
Makes it seem like there's another reason behind it. I put this on Twitter this morning. A lot of people are not very happy with the fact that, you know, a lot of Big Blue Nation fans, there's a shock, are not happy. Well, you don't know what he's going through. You're right, I don't know what he's going through. But if you're going to apologize publicly, do it week after the game. Don't wait 3.5 months. And I understand you've got to have a tough guy image. You've got to have that street cred. You got to have people walk out on that field to be scared of you. Oh, look at this guy. But if he apologizes, that aura of invincibility, maybe, he thinks, is not there anymore. Maybe it was a little gimmick, living the gimmick kind of thing. My thing is, the apology is 3.5 months late. Like you said, at this point, don't bother at this point.
Yeah, Cash Daniels, if he's going to apologize right now, it needs to be to his teammates. Because he disappeared after that Florida game. Going into the season and leading up through that game, all you heard about, in Lexington at least, was Cash Daniels, Cash Daniels, Cash Daniels. And after that game, you never heard about him again. And for a guy who was supposed to be a leader on the field, and maybe he was still a leader in the locker room, but for a guy who was supposed to be a leader on the field, he should have been more prevalent throughout the season. And maybe they would be at 9 wins if he would have. And again, you say, well, you don't know what he's going through. That's no excuse to try to hurt somebody. It never is. And nobody's okay with that in real life. You don't go, well, yeah, I know he hurt this person, but you don't know what he's going through. That doesn't make it okay. And if you can't show that you have the mindset to control yourself in that instance, then it might be a concern for other areas as well.
Media caught up with him after the game. He was wearing street clothes, but he still had his face paint on.
Yeah.
That tells me a lot about his personality. Did you even take a shower after the game? You were probably not smelling the best at that point. Deodorant only goes so far. My friend might want to take a shower, wash that stuff off your face after the game. That's Cash Daniel.
Yeah, it's his character. Yep.
Elsewhere in college football, we've got a national championship game coming up. LSU versus Clemson. LSU boat races Oklahoma. Clemson luckily gets by Ohio State. Your thought on those semifinal games and the national championship game coming up?
Joe Burrow was incredible in that LSU Oklahoma game. 7 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. Coach O said he was upset with himself. Joe Burrow was, because he missed 2 touchdown passes. This kid has been far and above better than anybody thought he would be this year. A lot of the credit's going to the offensive coordinator, who came in from, I believe, the Saints, and just transformed the offense around. They are better than I ever gave him credit for. Going into the season, I didn't know anything about this LSU team, and they sure came on strong and were great. Clemson, Ohio State, the refs played a big role in that game. But at the end of the day, Clemson is still undefeated. Trevor Lawrence still hasn't lost a game in his college career. And Clemson is still, I think, the most dangerous team that's left.
So, national championship game. You just told me you're taking Clemson over LSU national championship game.
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
I think we agree, Vince Stover.
Looky there.
LSU is a 5.5-point favorite. Line started right. 4, was up to 6.5 at one point, never touched 7, I don't think. I looked for it, it didn't touch 7. Now down to 5.5, sharp money coming in now on Clemson. Number one team against the spread this year in college football. People don't understand this. It's Clemson. Oh, they were just barely getting by teams. Everybody remembers that North Carolina game where they just right. barely won. That was just one. The rest of the season, they were boat racing these teams, but everybody remembers that poor North Carolina game where they almost lost. Clemson, also defending national champion, now they're going to sit here for this championship game and say, everybody's running us down. Dabo Sweeney, all the disrespect. Oh, yep. They want us. They don't even want us in the playoff. Blah, 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 blah. You don't think they're going to use that as a 5.5-point dog? Yes. 79% of the tickets and 80% of the money wagered on this game so far is on LSU. I love Clemson here, and getting 5.5 points, I love them even more, Vince Dover.
Let me explain to you why you're right. I know you don't need that, but maybe the listeners do. Clemson played in two close games all season long, North Carolina and Ohio State just last week. They had they played Texas A&M early in the season. They were ranked number 12 at the time. They beat them by 14. They played Virginia in the championship game for the conference. They beat them 62-17. After that, they blew out everybody, just like you said. They averaged they outscored opponents by an average of 36 points all season long. They are the defending national champions. And yes, they lost some guys to the draft this year, but something that we seem to forget with teams like Clemson is they don't have down years. Now they're just restocking every year, and they've already got guys that redshirted last year that didn't play at all last year that are ready to play this year. Their defense, they only gave up 10 points on average. They are an incredible defense. LSU has played a lot of very good teams. They ended up playing six ranked teams throughout the year. Three of those were very close games, Texas, Auburn, and Alabama. Then Florida, Georgia, and Oklahoma, they took care of handily. But Clemson allowed 244 yards all season. LSU, their defense allowed 341 yards. That's a 100-yard difference between the defenses. LSU gave up 21 points a game. Clemson, 10 points a game. I think the defense is the difference maker here because Clemson is just, they're the national champions, and they're not a pushover team, and they're not a team that needs the referees to give them a game in order for them to win.
I like the way you think on that one. The total on this game is 69, so you're saying you're going under the total on this one too? Because you gave me a lot of defense right there.
Yeah, I would think at 69, I think it will be under. There's the potential for, because the quarterbacks are both really, really good. Burrow had over 5,000 yards, 55 touchdowns. His rating is, I think I saw it at 204, where Trevor Lawrence, he had 3,400 yards, he had 36 touchdowns. His rating is improved this year over last year. And if you look at it and go, okay, if Trevor Lawrence has gotten better and the defense is still as good, they both have great running games as well, LSU and Clemson. But I think at the end of the day, you're looking at more of that maybe 50-point range total.
And the best thing that happened for anybody picking Clemson in this game is that everybody saw LSU just completely obliterate Oklahoma, and everybody saw Clemson just barely get by Ohio State in a game they probably should have lost. So if the public is thinking, wow, LSU looks great, Clemson's just lucky to be there. There's a lot of value in Clemson getting 5.5 in this game. That's why I'm on Clemson. Vince Stover and I agree for once, one of our rarities, that we both take Clemson in the points in this one.
I think the biggest difference, though, between Clemson and LSU is the coaching. Dabo Sweeney is a better coach overall than Coach Orgeron. And I like Orgeron, and he is a motivator of men. I'm still waiting. I don't fully trust him as a football coach, an X's and O's, complete full team X's and O's guy. And Dabo Sweeney has proven his ability as a coach, again, with his returning quarterback, with a great defense. I take, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty even when you look at talent, with the exception, I think Clemson's defense is better. I think quarterbacks are pretty even. Running backs are really even. I think at the end of the day, it comes back down to coaching, and I would take Dabo over Coach O, and that's why I would pick Clemson.
So we both like Clemson and the points over LSU. Are there any other bowl games? We're sitting here, the January 2nd edition of this show. Are there any other bowl games you like going forward to end the bowl season? Vince Stover.
Well, I would be amiss to not mention Tennessee-Indiana. We all know that's just going to be a great game. It's going to be an instant classic down there in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite. I like Indiana in this game, and I would take them to win this game over Tennessee. Indiana is a lot better than people realize, because everybody thinks Indiana football, well, they've never done anything. They're not a bad football team, and I think they come in, and I'll take Indiana over Tennessee in the Gator Bowl.
Vince Stover, I have three games other than the national championship game on my list. Our Gamblers Anonymous pick of the bowl season, take Tulane and Southern Miss to go under 56.5. That's if you need some action out there, if you know what I mean. Another game we really like, Boston College getting 7.5 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati. We'll take BC getting those 7.5 in Cincinnati. And we will go to that Tax Slayer Bowl game. We hate to agree again, Vince Dover. That is that we have the check mark by that. That's our Mac Daddy Stogie pick of the bowl, the rest of the bowl season. Give us Indiana and 2.5. I don't want the points. I don't need the points. Straight up winner. Give us the Hoosiers over the Vols. Good Lord. What has gotten into you? The new year means we're agreeing? That's not a good sign, Vince Dover. If you're listening to this and you hear us agree, you might want to run to the window and take the other side immediately, if you know what I mean. Speaking of football, the NFL playoffs are upon us. Vince Dover and his beloved Green Bay Packers may be the worst 13-3 team I've ever seen in my lifetime. Somehow gets a first round bye, but we've got 4 big playoff games this weekend. Your thoughts on any playoff game this weekend that you see coming up, the big wild card weekend?
I'm excited about wild card weekend. I think we got 4 great games coming in. I think they're all going to be fantastic. Let's start with the Bills and the Texans. I've got the Texans at 2.5. The Bills have a better defense. They have a better run game. The Texans have a better quarterback. And because of the offense they have, they're never out of a game. I think the question for this game comes down again to coaching. Is McDermott or O'Brien the better coach? I honestly don't know the answer to that. I'll stick with the Texans. But I think the Bills are, again, just they're a very good team. And if Allen doesn't turn the ball over, they have a great shot at winning this game. The Titans and the Patriots. Patriots 5.5. They've got Tom Brady. They've got Bill Belichick. They've got all of history behind them for the last decade. This is a game that I just I said that you can't bet against the Patriots until they prove that you can't bet that you can. And I mean, if the Titans go up early, they've got a chance because of their run game. But I think the Patriots will take this game. But I don't think they'll cover at 5.5.
I would have to agree. I think the Titans are a really good play this week. It's not one I'm going to put as a Mac Daddy Stogie type pick. But if I were taking these games on Saturday in the AFC, I think I would lean to Buffalo as well. Josh Allen on the road is an underdog. 7-2 against the spread. So anytime Josh Allen's getting points on the road, he has come through. Ryan Tannehill, if you're going to give me 5.5, I'll take that. Tennessee's offense going very well. They've hit the under. I think 7 out of the last 8 games, they went over the total. So it's going to be an offensive game. Yeah, I'd take both dogs in the AFC games. What about the NFC?
NFC Vikings and the Saints. Saints at 7.5 is the last line that I saw. They're at home. Saints are so dangerous at home. Drew Brees, Michael Thomas are great. Sean Payton's wonderful. If Cook is healthy for the Vikings, that will definitely help them. But I'm telling you, the Saints are they are determined to win this football game. I've got the Saints by 13. Seahawks and the Eagles. Seahawks just a 1.5-point favorite on the road against Philadelphia. Philadelphia at home helps them. I like Peterson better than Carroll in the coaching. But Russell Wilson, the Seahawks are healthier. I think the Eagles are going to have a hard time winning this football game. But I think the Eagles will pull it off in the end.
Again, we're agreeing. I think the Eagles will be the upset pick of the first round. Eagles are getting 2.5 right now. But my Mac Daddy lock, Stogie lock of the playoffs, 45 points is a total in the Seattle-Philly game. We'll go under that total. We're expecting a little bit of weather. Seattle's running game is non-existent right now. A lot of injuries on the Philly side. Under the total, Philly and Seattle, 45 as of this taping. We'll go under that, and that's our Mac Daddy Stogie. So the playoffs are starting. Give us your Super Bowl picks as of right now.
All right, so let's start with a quick rewind. The first podcast that me and you talked about the NFL this season, I picked the Kansas City Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl.
And I had the Patriots and the Eagles, yes.
Yes, and you mocked me for Andy Reid making it to the Super Bowl.
I'm still mocking you.
They got the Chiefs and the Ravens making it to the AFC Championship game, and the Chiefs coming and upsetting Baltimore in Baltimore, making it to the Super Bowl. On the other side of things, the Packers and the Saints in the NFC Championship game. And my heart wants to say Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay at home against Drew Brees aging and playing out in the weather, because they would be at home in that game. It gives Green Bay a shot. I'm going to stick with my original picks, though. Chiefs and the Saints in the Super Bowl. Saints pulling it off and winning over the Chiefs.
Unlike you, I have no loyalty to my picks. The fact that you have not even mentioned the 49ers at all is a travesty. So it's the 49ers coming out of the NFC, Ravens out of the NFC. That's easy money right there. Ravens, Niners, Super Bowl.
I don't think San Francisco Francisco, I think if they make it to the NFC Championship game, then they will go to the Super Bowl, being at home playing in the championship game. But I think that first matchup for them is going to be tough no matter who it is. And I think San Francisco gets upset in their first playoff game.
Fantasy football, player of the year, who was it?
Christian McCaffrey.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston. Completed the greatest season. I compared him to Howard Johnson on Twitter, a man who went 30-30 three times for the New York Mets back in the 90s, if you can believe that. 5,000 yards passing, 30-plus touchdowns, 30 interceptions. Will we ever see a season like this again?
Well, it depends. If the Buccaneers re-sign him, yeah.
No, he's gone. Arians will not put up with that another season. I can promise you that.
The comments coming out of Tampa from Bruce Arians are absolutely incredible. Can you win with another quarterback other than Jameis Winston? He said, if I can win with Jameis Winston, I can obviously win with another quarterback.
I love Arians.
That's Winston incredible. Is gone, man. He's making sure that Tampa cannot bring him back. You look at Mariota and Winston, same draft, 1-2. Neither one of them, at the end of the day, did what their teams needed them to do. Both of them looking for jobs this year. I wouldn't think that we're going to see another 30 interception season with a guy who throws for over 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. I don't think we're going to see that again.
Cincinnati, they're taking Burrow?
I think they have to.
Would you get rid of Dalton?
Yeah.
Get rid of Dalton and get Burrow?
Andy Dalton right now has some value in the NFL.
He does?
I think so. I think a team that needs someone to not turn the ball over, someone that can come in and be just a level quarterback for them, I think Andy Dalton in Indianapolis is the best place for him. But going back to Cincinnati, Joe Burrow has proven himself to be this season a wonderful quarterback, and the story writes itself. He's an Ohio kid. Cincinnati needs to sell tickets more than anything, more than they need to win. They need to sell tickets, and winning will sell tickets eventually. But for next year, you put in Joe Burrow with Joe Mixon, and that's going to sell some tickets for him.
So bottom line, Vince Stover says your Super Bowl is the same thing he said back in September. Chiefs will win the Super Bowl.
No, Saints will win over the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, Saints over the Chiefs for the Super Bowl. You did not hear that here first, because we don't agree with that at all. Good luck, Vince Stover. College basketball now. The University of Kentucky, who at one time was the number one team in America, now sits at 9-3. Before the season started, we tried to beg people. The Vegas flu. They have no chance to cover the spread against Ohio State. Little did we know that Ohio State would actually play well, so as well as they have so far this season, and be favored in the game, but Ohio State still won and covered,
yep,
making our Vegas flu prediction or theory come through yet again. A former guest on this show, who shall remain nameless, Dan Reifer, literally used the Vegas flu on his show as he filled in for Tom Leach one day. We were told of this. We did not hear it, but we were told by our good friend Bruce Edwards here at Christian Broadcasting that he basically verbatim repeated our Vegas flu theory. Maybe you should give us some credit next time, Reifer. Another story for another day. 9-3 Cats coming off that Vegas trip. Then they come back home to Louisville, play well against a highly ranked Louisville team. Did that fix their problems, Vince Stover?
What will fix their problems is the SEC. So I don't know if Louisville did or not. It was a great game. Kentucky played well. The first half they played great. Second half they played good enough to win. But Kentucky is what they always are at this point in the season under Coach Cal, searching for an identity. So they're trying to be something they're not. They're not shooters, and that's important to win in college basketball right now, in any form of basketball right now. And Cal has yet to give in to the "I've got to go get shooters" in recruiting, and I think he's going to get there eventually. He has to. But have they fixed their problems? I don't know. I doubt it. There's one player that's shooting over 30% from the three-point line right now from Kentucky. Technically, two. There's Quickley's at 31%. Sestina's at 36%. Everybody else is 30 or below. That's not going to win come tournament time.
We're big proponents of KenPom ratings. We look at them. I literally am on that site every day, and I've been a member of that site for so long that my login is my AOL email address that I used to have. I still use that to log into my KenPom ratings. Offensive efficiency, Kentucky 26th. Defensive, they're 23rd. But here's the most telling thing of all for Kentucky. 3-point field goal percentage, 29.3. That's 299th in America out of 353 teams. But the percentage of 3-point field goal attempts that they're putting up compared to the overall field goals, 28.1%. That's 339. So in other words, not only are they bad at shooting three-pointers, they're not even attempting shooting three-pointers. They're one of the lowest teams in America at attempts of three-pointers. So not only can they not shoot, they don't want to shoot three-pointers because they're not doing it anyway.
Well, that could be a good sign in the simple fact that that means they know they can't make them. And so why shoot them if you can't make them?
But in today's day and age, you've got to hit threes to win in the way the game is played now.
Yeah, they're trying to focus on their defense and letting their defense win games for them. Any team that scores over 60 against Kentucky is probably going to win in most cases. And they are going to have to play incredible defense and keep the score low in order to have a legitimate shot, especially come March and April.
Yes or no? SEC champions regular season this year. They're sitting at 9-3. Auburn is at 12-0, but they've only had one true road game this year, and that was a one-point win at South Alabama. Are they for real or are they a fraud? Arkansas also 11-1, and they have a win on the road at Indiana. So those are the two teams you look at in the SEC preseason as teams that stand out. Kentucky, SEC regular season champions or no, Vince Stover?
I think the way they're playing right now, I would say no, but I don't know who that would be. So if you're giving me Kentucky or the field, I'm taking the field.
I would agree with that. I think it's going to be a race between, at this point, I'd say them and Auburn. I mean, you're looking at, I would say, anywhere between 5 and 7 losses in the SEC for this team. They're going to go on the road, and it's going to get ugly in some of these road games in the SEC, and you're going to get some losses. You might see this team go into the tournament double-digit losses by the time you get there.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I mean, the SEC is as weak as it's been in a while. I think Arkansas is going to be a very good team moving forward, but it's going to be an interesting SEC season. They're going to, without a doubt, be a very bad basketball conference again this year, but I think the real issue with Kentucky is their rotation. Cal, he has this stubbornness about him where he's got guys, and we don't see practice, so maybe it's because of practice that he sets the rotation, but E.J. Montgomery's playing too many minutes. He's averaging 8.6 rebounds, which sounds okay, but he's out there. He's a liability when he's out there in most cases. He's got more minutes right now than Brooks and Whitney. I think both of them should be playing more than Montgomery. But outside of that, you know, Cal has to figure out who can be on the floor and put points on the board, because they can all, for the most part, play defensively. And, you know, there's some that are better than others, obviously, as with every team. But I think that he's got to figure out who is his crunch time guys. And, you know, I still like Higgins. I like what he's doing this season. He's one of the top scorers on the team right now. He's really doing well with distributing the ball, and he's averaging 2 steals a game. So he's doing a lot of good things. But I think at the end of the game, when you need points, I feel like Higgins may need to be on the bench in that time.
Best player of the team this season?
I think at this point, it's Maxey. I like Quickley. I think he's been he's coming into a role right now, and I think he might be a really important piece come SEC tournament and NCAA tournament play.
Now, if you've watched this team, I would agree with that. If you watch this team play this year, those are good points. But if you look at the numbers and look at efficiency ratings, Higgins and Richards have been their best players. Your thought on Nick Richards so far this year?
Richards is doing well. He needs to continue to be consistent. He's shooting the ball wisely, I think. He's averaging, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks a game. That's what he has to be for this team to have any success whatsoever, because there's no other big that's doing anything. Sestina's staying outside for the most part. He's only scoring 7 points a game. Like I said, Montgomery's doing nothing. I think Brooks needs to play bigger. They seem to keep him out there at that 3 spot. He needs to be playing the 4, I think, in the place of E.J. Montgomery, and you might see some more offensive productivity that way. But Richards has been, that game against Louisville, they had no shot if Richards wasn't playing the way he's playing. And it was mostly with rebounds and defense for most of the game in that game.
All right, this Saturday, Kentucky faces Missouri. Missouri 8-4 on the year. They have losses to Xavier, Butler, and Oklahoma. And they also have a home loss to Charleston Southern, who's ranked number 292 in the current KenPom ratings. Your thoughts on Kentucky at home against Missouri? Should they just, is this a double-digit win or no, Vince Stover?
No, I don't think it's a double-digit win.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. Kentucky hasn't proven to this point that they can pull away and hold off a team, even though Missouri's really not that great. No, I mean, I think it'll be in that 7-9 range.
That's a good guess on our part. In Cal's tenure at Kentucky, when he's a double-digit favorite, he is 74 up and 92 down against the point spread, including 1-5 this season. We like going against things like that. We foresee Kentucky being about a double-digit favorite in this game. Obviously, the line won't come out until Friday, but we see kind of a 7-point, 66-59 type score in this game. Keep in mind, Missouri has upset, using the word upset in quotation marks there, Illinois and Temple this year, so they can beat somebody, although they lost to Charleston Southern. They can play a little bit, and I'm sure they'll be fired up to come to Lexington.
This is an important game for Kentucky moving forward. Coming off a big win, how are they going to respond? And, you know, Coach Cal's been saying, oh, we've had our best practice of the year since the Louisville game, which would be a good sign if you can believe anything that Coach Cal says. And so, you know, this game is going to show you, I think, more of who this team is going to be moving forward based off of how they come off of a big win, an emotional win against Louisville. And it should set the tone for SEC play and what we can expect to see moving forward.
Dougie, 9-3, but 5-7 on the season against the spread. So they're not living up to expectations, and we don't think that they're going to live up to many expectations going forward this year. We see several SEC losses in this team, but then again, that's why they play the games. We also right now see Duke as the national champion. That's neither here nor there. We're just trying to pick winners here on the bottom line. That's it. So the bottom line for Vince Dover on college basketball, Kentucky should win against Missouri, but not by a whole bunch.
Yeah, I think it'll be a closer game probably than it should be.
By the way, our Mac Daddy Stogies, we are the master, Vince Dover. You didn't know this. We are the masters of the upset special, the unranked traps, as you may know, the common term for this. So we're going to give you some upset specials over the next few days. Thursday, tonight, January 2nd, our pick to win the Pac-12, you heard it here first, Colorado, unranked. They're going to pull off the upset against number 4, Oregon. We step out on limbs here on the bottom line. Colorado over Oregon Thursday night. Saturday, we've got a trifecta. Unranked Marquette will upset number 10, Villanova. Unranked Utah State will take down undefeated at number 13 San Diego State. And, as we discussed earlier, unranked Mississippi State will take it to undefeated number 8 Auburn. There's 4 for you, Vince Stover. 4 unranked upset winners. I don't want the points. I don't need the points. Straight up winners, Vince Stover. How you like them apples?
I disagree with all 4 of those picks.
That's what we like to hear. We don't like it when Vince Stover agrees with us. We like it when he thinks we're crazy. That's when we know we're on the right trail here on the bottom line. All right, Vince Stover, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Our best wishes to you and yours on this, make it a wonderful 2020. Any parting words here on this January 2nd edition of The Bottom Line?
I'm excited for the new year. We got a good basketball coming up, good football coming up. I'm already excited about baseball season. 2020 is going to be a great sports year.
I can't even the good book tells us we can't play that far in the future. Good book. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today.
It's going to be a good year for sports. I'm excited to talk about it as the year goes on.
Amen, brother. Thank you for taking time out of your day and come visit us here on The Bottom Line. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And that does it for the January 2nd edition of The Bottom Line Lexington podcast. We are going to try to do at least 2 or 3 podcasts a week from this point going forward. Not as long as usual, especially the ones I do myself, but we're going to try to put a bigger effort into doing more shows in this new year. So look out for that. And we thank you for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Vince, tell them where we can follow you on Twitter again.
On Twitter, you can find me at Sports Stove.
At Sports Stove. That is the new Vince Stover podcast that he refuses to let me be a guest on. But that's neither here nor there. Thanks again for listening, and as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.